Good morning. 8:13 a.m. August 4th. A Tuesday morning after a long weekend. And oh, what a slippery slope missing a day was. Yes, because I missed a day a couple weeks ago, I thought, oh no, I can't do it today. Actually, I got up feeling sick, so I didn't feel like I could get too far from the house without running certain digestive risks. At any rate, I didn't walk yesterday, I didn't record yesterday, I did damn little yesterday because I didn't really feel well. So this morning I'm back up, I'm back out. I didn't come out at 6 o'clock. Probably should have. Might have been cooler. Certainly would have been darker. It was pretty dark at 6 this morning. That's getting there. I got one kid homesick. I got wife homesick. So yeah, we're back in a normal schedule. With people I'll have to take care of all day, probably. So it's kind of a pain in the butt, but that's the way it works. Today is Tuesday. I need to finish breaking up chapters. I need to do the financials for the information that I have so far for the year and file an income tax statement before the 10th, I believe. So I got a few days. It's going to be relatively straightforward. I've got a pretty good handle on financials, so it's just a question of lining them up and putting a couple checks in the bank and making it happen. So it's not too bad. Trying to think of what else is going on today. Not much. Tomorrow I'm taping with Good morning. Tomorrow I'm taping with John Moreau. Recording with John Moreau on Skype. And then doing another Writer's Roundtable podcast on Thursday. So that's that. What I'm reading lately, and this is probably what I'm thinking about most, is I'm rereading 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. I picked it up off from, I probably picked it up off from Kindle for a free download. But I had forgotten, there's been decades since I've read the book, so I've forgotten a lot of the details of how this comes to be and how this guy is established under the sea. His politics are interesting. In those days, the line that really got to me yesterday was, on the oceans, man's able to exercise unjust laws and a bunch of other things. And he says, but 30 feet down, it's a new world, and their sovereignty has no domain or something like that. And I thought, oh, well, that's changed. But I thought it was a very interesting idea that there was, at one point, actually in several points in our history, there were parts of the world that were unavailable to us. The skies and under the ocean. Underwater. And I was thinking, what would this story look like in space? How would that work? And the problem was, of course, that you would need some sort of perceptual barrier. That's the way the ocean surface and 30 feet down. And what people believe about the perceptual barrier. And I think the speed of light is an interesting potential to be that perceptual barrier. Because, of course, we all know that you can't go faster than the speed of light. But what if you could? What if there was some, I won't say technology, but some loophole that allowed it to occur? Now, in my books, I do a lot of hand-waving around folding space and the amount of energy required to do what my ships do on a regular basis is kind of like you have to burn a star every time you want to do one of these. And they're doing them thousands of times every day across the course of the universe, so obviously they're not burning stars. The question of this perceptual barrier, and how can you live, how would you choose to live if you were freed from the social constraint, if you were freed from the rule of law, for lack of a better term. I think it's interesting the way that kind of idea plays out. Because if you look at some of the instances where it does play out now, you look at the online environment where, for example, in EVE Online, there are no rules below 0.0. And yet there's a whole another universe down there between 0.0 and minus 1 where you can pretty much carve out what you want as long as you can hold it. So there's a certain amount of might makes right. And there's no way of hiding necessarily. So that makes it a bit of a problem, I suppose. But the idea of how do you deal with this? How do you cope with this? Becomes an interesting challenge. Are we as a species always going to fall prey? And a lot of people would argue, well, of course, duh, because we see it every day. But what if that's not a universal? I mean, it's not a universal because we see examples of symbionts every day. We see examples of parasites as well, but I'm thinking more along the lines of a symbiont, where the relationship is not predatory but mutually beneficial. What's that? Ant that farms aphids. Perhaps we could argue that milk cows are in a symbiotic relationship with man. I'm not sure we could argue the same about beef cattle, but that's another interesting question. I suppose it has to do with how you treat the animals in question. So there are some interesting challenges there. Excuse me. I got up too early again today because the cats woke me up. Probably need to take another nap today. I've had one already, but it was very short. And with having people home, it's probably not going to be all that feasible to nap today. But at least it's a full day for the one kid. It's not like an early release day or something, so that's a good sign. And I have 2 days. Thursday morning I go to school to work with the novel folks. Trying to figure out what's the best way to present this. It's sort of feeling like I'm flying by the seat of my pants here on it. It's like, okay, well, you're going to write a novel. Yeah, that, I mean, that's it. That's the whole bullet point. You're going to write a novel. So, the ideas of character and setting, conflict and theme, they all have to come out of this conversation. They're part of a larger context, of course, but still, it's going to be interesting to work with these people. Touch the pole on the way by. Sun is hot. That's what I get for waiting. It's still a beautiful morning, I gotta say. Sky is a rich blue today. A lot of times sky gets a little washed out. It's beautiful deep blue up here today. A sky of the fall. For some reason, to me, skies in the fall always seem bluer. I'm not sure why that might be. I don't know if the atmosphere itself is cooler and so denser and so more oxygen molecules reflecting blue light or what. Maybe it's just my perception and not an actual change in color at all. But I have been, enjoying this Verne. And granted, it's in translation. So I'm not reading Verne as much as I'm reading his translator. But it's still an intriguing setup. I've just got to the point where Verne and his companions have been taken aboard the Nautilus. And they've met Captain Nemo, are having a meal. Or the main character is having a meal. It's interesting to see how Verne shuffles his secondary characters on and off the page as he needs them. When Verne needs to communicate with someone, the side characters, his valet, Conseil, and Ned, the harpoonist, are conveniently shuttled off to do other business while Monsieur Aronnax handles the affaire du jour. So it's very interesting to me to watch Verne play this sort of merry-go-round of characters, moving them in and out of scene as he needs them, so that they're not there cluttering up. There's never any doubt of who's speaking, because generally speaking, there are only two people in any given scene. And when there are three or more, those scenes are very rare. And it's interesting to see, having written 9 books now, how I've had to kind of manipulate that sort of thing myself, to see Verne doing it and to recognize it for what it is. Yeah, it's part of the story. Yeah, they're doing something in character. They're doing something that brings the story forward. But the reality is also that they're simplifying by leaving. They're simplifying the scene so that Verne doesn't need to worry about what the extra characters are doing. They have no role in the scene, and so he takes them off the page. So it's a very cool technique, one I'll have to remember. Speaking of memory, I've been trying to remember the 6 characteristics that we studied at the writer's workshop in Oregon. I'm going to have to break out my notebook because I can't remember them. Because they weren't all, that's the thing, they weren't all setting voice character. The last one was the format of the page. That was the most artificial one of all. I understand what he was saying, but it's not. It's an interesting take on the establishment of character and setting. there was accent, because that's where you're from. There's attitude, which is what you wear. There's opinion, that was what you think. There was action, which is what you do. And number five eludes me, because number six was the page. Let's see if I can remember, based on the assignments. I think action was number five. Good morning. Accent, attitude, opinion, see, opinion and action were together, so what I'm missing is the one that comes after attitude. Cannot dredge it up. I'm probably bollocking it up somewhere. I'll have to go over it again before Thursday so I can take it to class and share it with the students. One of the things that we dealt with was the senses of the five senses. Seems to me that was one of them, and I can't remember what he called it. Because we had an exercise where every two pages we had to use all five senses. So if there were two pages, and that's basically what we turned in for assignments, was a page and a half, we had to have all five senses in that sector, that segment. So, you know, people would pop them in or taste a bitter coffee or something like that. So that was, seems to me that was one of them. The problem is that there were so many things that he sort of just threw in and layered on the side of it. Some of it was, yeah. Some of it was, what? And I find myself thinking, geez, you know, I should go and take the same class again. Because now that I understand that he's talking about short story, some of my frustration with what he's doing is going to be taken away. So I also started doing classes online, so I don't actually have to travel there. Now, the thing about the online classes is that I'm pretty sure he doesn't have the training that he needs to actually pull this off in a meaningful way, but who knows, we'll see. Could be. Ah, almost back, which is good because I'm ready for my coffee, I'm ready for my toast. Ready for my peanut butter. Here I am, crossing a street. Everything is soggy here this morning because the sprinklers are running. It's only going to get wetter. At any rate, tomorrow's another day, and I will talk to you then.